All right, how many of you here were last Wednesday night? All right, how many wasn't here last Wednesday night? Okay, I'll give a quick review because I had to quit in the middle of the message because time was up. But I learned how to do that. My dad was famous for that. In fact, he told me, he said, "Son, that's the one when you preach into your church and you get the time limit is getting," he said, "just unhook and hook back up right there the next service because you're going to be preaching to them the next time." So last Wednesday night, I started talking about rising to a new level in life. And I am zeroing in on spiritual life and on natural life. I like to teach on Wednesday night things that will help you in both areas, the spiritual area and the natural area, because God wants it. And so 3 John 2 says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers." And then Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." So let me give a quick review from last week. I'm not going to do the whole thing. I believe that we can rise to new levels, both spiritually and in the natural. You know, actually, did you know the way we think and our thoughts that we've entertained over a period of time, actually, that's where we are at. That's where we wind up. And one of the phone companies several years ago talked about rising the bar. Well, we need to rise the bar and move up to a new level. And so how do you do that? First of all, you check what's around you. And you need to look at the people you continually hanging around with. See if they're actually supportive of the things that you believe because you'll eventually become like the people you continually hang with. Sometimes you have to change your friends. And I said this last time, I've said it many times, you can't be a winner hanging with losers. And I'm sorry, some people just, they don't want to move up in life. I never was satisfied with anything but first place. I wasn't satisfied with second place. If you're not first, you're last. I don't like second place trophies. God is not a second place God. He gives everything first class all the way. You know, sometimes you got to check up on your environment. You cultivate your environment by the things you say. You cultivate an environment of winning, you cultivate an environment of spiritual authority, or you cultivate a doubt and unbelief. You know, as you talk in a room, you ever walked into a room where some people have been talking and you can tell, you can feel friction in the air? You didn't hear anything. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Well, they had created an atmosphere with their words. And I'm not going to talk about that. And then sometimes we need to look at our methods and our systems. We may need to change the way we're doing some things. We may need to change our prayer life. We may need to change our Bible reading. We may need to change methods and systems in the natural. Okay? We may need to make sure that we have systems that are productive and give us a quality of life that we want spiritually and naturally. Okay. Secondly, I said, we need to learn to focus on the right things. What you continually look at is what you end up becoming. So, hey, focus on people who have gone higher and accomplished more. Watch how they did it. Watch what they do. You know, and you can rise to that level too. I've always been one that watched. I mean, when I was a kid, I would traveling with my dad, you know, because dad used to travel. He only pastored 4 churches, and 3 of those when I was alive. And so... We would travel in between that, and he would travel to churches, and I learned to observe and watch churches and see how they did things, and I'd talk to him about it. He said, yeah, they need to change some things, you know, because, you see, you need to focus on the right thing. There was one guy, because somebody out of his church, somebody been on the staff in his church, went across town and started the church, and that's all he could ever talk about. He'd talk about, you know, that's all he could focus on. Eventually, it ruined him almost. See, no matter what happens, focus on what God says, not on what's happened to you, not on what somebody's done. That's their problem, not yours. See, but sometimes we get hung up on what they did. Okay, maybe it wasn't right. So, somebody said to me the other day, said, do you know what people say about you? I said, I don't know. I don't really know. I said, people have told me they say things about me on the internet. I got all kinds of junk. And they said, well, don't that bother you? I said, no. Because I'm not going to let what somebody else says keep me from doing what God has asked me to do. You know, you got to, hey, don't think small. God's not a small God. He's a big God. You know, you got to believe that you can do what the Word of God says you can do. Even in the natural, coaches used to come in the locker room and they'd say to you, you got to see yourself doing it. You got to believe you can do it before you can accomplish it. So, okay, that's what we talked about. Now let's go on down. I'm going to pick up now. This is where I've left off last week. Now, I went into that a lot more than that. Okay, you need to go on a mission to replace anything that hinders you in your life. Let's go to Ephesians 4, 22 through 24. Ephesians 4, 22 through 24. Now, I just hit the high spots of what I talked about last Wednesday night. If you need to hear the whole thing, you'll have to get the CD out there. All right? All right. I'm going to read from the NLT, Ephesians 4, 22 through 24. Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. But what I want to get a hold of is, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. Not just spiritually, but in every area of your life. You know, we need to identify anything that may be hindering us from becoming successful, both naturally and spiritually. Make every attempt, every effort to identify and get rid of things like average thoughts, average words, and average actions. Don't be comfortable with just the status quo. Don't be comfortable just where you're at now. Thank God for where you are now. Thank God for what God has given to you. I do that all the time. But I am not comfortable just to stay here. I want to move up. I want to move on. I want more of God. I want to be more successful in the natural as well as the spiritual. If you'll study in the Old Testament, that's what God did with Abraham. He did it with Jacob. He did it with Isaac. Go study. And actually, it says in Galatians that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, not just the spiritual blessing. It was talking about the whole blessing. What was the blessing? Redeemed from the curse of poverty, sickness, and death. And that means second death, that's spiritual death. That's what it's talking about. Hey, that's where we're at. See, confront things and behavior in your life that's sabotaging your project or your progress. Don't be afraid to kick some of these things out and get rid of them. You know, some people, they hold on to everything in the natural and in the spiritual. They hold on to stuff when they need to get, it needs to be replaced. We had to replace some stuff around here. And you know what? We actually had some people that were really upset and crying because we don't have, you're getting rid of the pink line, blah, 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 blah. I'm serious. Didn't they? Some of you might have heard it. People came, and when church wasn't even going on, people came into the auditorium and laid down on the pink line and took pictures. Like that pink line was something or another, you know. See, but people get hooked into different things like that. That needs to be, you need to let that go. Thank God for the what all that happened on the pink line, but let's see what can happen on the new carpet squares. Hello. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you deal with everything that keeps you from being what God wants you to be in the spiritual and what God wants you to be in the natural. Ask him to help you identify everything that's keeping you from moving up. You know, now some of y'all will know this, but some of the young ones don't. Moving on up. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We need to sing that song, Moving On Up. That's the Jeffersons. We need to move on up. Come on now. Now, the one I'm fixing to go to now is one that really is something that really keeps people from moving up in life. Go from the minimum requirements to the maximum output. Some people just do enough to get by with. Let's read Colossians 3, 23 and 24. 3, 23 and 24. Okay, you found it? All right. I see some people still turning. I'll wait just a minute. Okay, we ready? Here we go. Colossians 3, 23 and 24. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Now, some people do the minimum to get by on in the job force, the workforce, also in the spiritual force. They do. I'm talking about cultivating an attitude, a way of conducting yourself that you move toward maximum output. See, there's some people, they do just enough to get by. Now, I may make some people mad, but I'm fixing to say something. I walk in and out of that back door that I come in at the administration building, and that we've got a rubber deal there that, so you get your junk off of your shoes. It scoots around and it gets hung, it comes into the door. If I see it, I bend down and pull it and put it up. I have never seen anybody else do it. And yet anybody that works in that building, when they walk in and see that, they should straighten that up. I'm serious. If you ever read the Disney philosophy of all the, in fact, they have to take a course when they work for Disney. And their deal is, I don't care if it's the CEO or if it's the last person on the totem pole in the corporation, if they see a piece of paper on the ground, they pick it up. Anybody ever read that book about the Disney Corporation? See, that's the way we should be in every part of our life. See, don't wait to be told. Look for something to do. I have noticed through the years, and when I'm working, and I've noticed that I do the same thing as an employer, because we have employees, I tell you what, people that get promoted are the ones that do stuff without having to be told. Any of you employers in here, you've got people, you employ people. I know we got a lot of people at church that have companies and does that. I guarantee you that the guy that just does enough to get by, I guarantee you he don't get promoted. It's the guy. In fact, I have been at many, many ministers, pastors' conferences and stuff, even back when I was younger associate pastor with my father-in-law. And one guy said, if you ever noticed, if you want to get a job done in the church, then find the person that is the busiest volunteering in the church and give them the job because it'll get done. Come on now. You know, be on time. I know people have trouble getting up and getting on time, but hey, if you serve in the military, you learn to be on time. Anybody served in the military? There's a guy over there with a flat top, Greg Finley over there. He's retired. What was your master sergeant? That's what I thought, but I wasn't going. Master sergeant, Marines. What happens to the guys that don't show up when it's assembly time? What? Bad trouble. You know, I wonder what God thinks when we don't show up on time, drag in. Come on now, I know everybody. That's not the time to get quiet. You get quiet, they think you're the one I'm talking to. You know, put more into it than the task requires. I've always been one to do everything I do with 100%. Because there's a lot of people here that I played ball with back in when I was in the intramurals. A lot of you watched me play, and if you were there, you noticed that I put everything I had in it. I do the same thing up here. When I minister with everything I've got. Somebody said, "Well, that wasn't much." Well, it was all I had for that day. But my dad told me I can still hear his voice. I mean, I don't know how far back as I can remember. Son, if it's worth doing right, or don't do it at all. That was it. And that's the way it is with the things of God. That's the way it is in the natural. You want to be strong spiritually, then do it with everything you got. If you want to be strong in the natural, do it with everything you got. You know, it's not just get by. It's get more of God. Get more of the blessings of God in the natural. See, I'm not satisfied with just getting the job done. How can I do a better job? I've been preaching for 61 years, and I still ask myself, what can I do? Now, this is at home asking my own self when I'm experimenting. What can I do? How can I present this better than I have before? I mean, I preached a bunch of sermons in 61 years. I preached 153 times or something like that. I keep a log of the date I preached and where I preached and what I preached at. Like I wrote it, I'll write it down tonight in my log when I get home, what I preached tonight and where it was here at the church. And I know I was looking back, and three or four years ago, I did 173 times, 160 times, 152 times. So you start adding that up over the years, That's a bunch of preaching. And when I, and that's just been in recent years when I was on the road evangelist, doing the evangelist. I mean, you preached Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, be off Saturday, preach again on Sunday. And you might do that for 2 weeks. You might have a week off and start all over again. So you preach a bunch of times. And I still ask myself, what can I do in the natural and in the spiritual to present the message better? Now, I use myself as an example because I know you don't mean to use you, but that's what you need to do if you want to get ahead. If you want to get ahead in life, spiritually and naturally, God, what can I do in the natural? What can I do in the spiritual to be better than I am today? Next year at this time, you should be able to see where you were and then see how much better you are next year at this time. You should continually want to go up. See, it's not what I can get. What can I give? You know, I found out the more I give, the more I get. That's God's plan. That's God's way. Come on now. Don't look at me like that. All right. Here's another one. Chart a course of action that allows God to move in your life and then to move you into the life of blessing that he says belongs to us in the Word of God. You know, take control of things. Change your appearance. Sometimes you have to change your appearance. Change how you act so people can recognize your potential. Now look at, and we know this, all of us, 1 Samuel 16:7 in the NLT. But the Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by his appearance or height, for I rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge you by outward appearance, but the Lord judges on your heart. Here the prophet was moving in a spiritual area, but he was judging in a natural area. Now we need to realize that there's some things that we need in the natural. You can look at and know how to judge people when it's a natural job. When it's spiritual, my dad always said, I never judge anybody by the outward. Spiritually, I judge them inwardly. I judge their spirit. Because people can raise their hands and they can shout, but it's all a sham. They're not really spiritual. They're putting on a show. Come on, don't look at me now. I'm telling the truth. I've been there, done that. I know I lived in the church almost. But you get around them long enough and you find out they're not spiritual at all. And people think they are because they see them jumping and shouting. You get around them a little while and begin to observe them, begin to hear their talk. They're not spiritual at all. Some of the stuff that comes out of their mouth shouldn't come out of their mouth. I'm talking about saying bad words. No, I've seen it done. See, people need to realize that in the natural, how you look presents a picture. Now, how do you look spiritually to God? I see some of your wheels are turning. Are we just trying to put on an outward show for men? Or can God really see a heart that is after him? Because it tells us to have a heart after God, right? Spirit after God, spirit after God. Now, in the natural, we need to do something. I mean, we need to keep a near needy parents. And we need to realize what our potential and our resources and use what we can to give a successful image. I mean, back when I'm traveling with Dad, we're traveling on the road back there, and I was 15, 16 years old, and the money was tight, and we didn't have money. He said, shine your shoes, look the best you can. If your shoes have got holes in them, but the top of them can be shining. That's what he used to tell us. You know, he said, hey, and I've always tried to maintain that type of appearance, both in the natural, and then I've tried to maintain the proper spiritual. Where did I learn all this stuff? I learned it from him. How many of you like steak? How many would eat a steak if they brought it to you and it was green? Well, even if they told you, oh, that's just food coloring we put on it. You're still not going to eat it, all right? So keep a neat appearance, both spiritually and in the natural. Okay? People often form their expectations of you in the natural, now I'm talking about on the natural side, from what they see. Now, you need to identify your strengths and your gifts and your talents and use them both in the natural and the spiritual. 1 Peter 4:10 says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. This is talking about there. But we all are gifted in natural abilities. Everybody don't have the same natural ability. I am a natural talker. Have always been. My mom said I started walking and talking when I was 9 months old, and she said I never shut up. She said that to the last day she was being able to talk to us. But it was, talking to people, I traveled with my dad back there that whole year, my 15th, 16th year in school, traveling with Dad all over the state of California. We'd be in a new church every 2 or 3 weeks. And I'd walk in and I'd go out and see a bunch of guys. I'd walk out and say, hey guys, my name's Kenneth Hagin. I'm the evangelist's son. I'm going to be around here about 3 weeks. What do you guys do around here for fun? What do y'all do? And, you know, I'm 15, 16 years old. Annette hadn't even come into the picture. In fact, I didn't even know her. And if I saw a young lady there, you know, I'm 15, 16, I'd walk up and say, hey, you want to go get a Coke after church? You see, some people just don't, that's not them. They do other stuff. But they got talents in other ways. Now, I'm not a detail person. Never have been. But I'm a kind of individual. If I walk in and there's a crisis situation, I can take charge of it and do something with it. Some people have seen me do it before. I see, she worked for us for years. Willeen. She's shaking her head back there because she worked, I don't know how many years she worked for Kenneth Hagin Ministries. But that's, in fact, Tony Cook used to call me. They'd be on a hospital visit or something else, and Tony would call and say, Pastor, you need to get over there. This situation needs to be taken care of. So I would go over and take care of it. And he used to say to me, Tony Cook, he'd say, Pastor, I never seen anybody. You can walk in and it's a crisis situation and you look at it and you grab hold of it and you turn it around and make something out of it. But see, that's some of your natural talents. Now you can take those same natural talents and use them on the spiritual side to help people. this is what it said. Use them to serve one another. There's some people who have a talent making money. Hey, then do it. Make the money and support the ministry. That's what the Bible said. The Bible said in one of the places there, when he's talking about all the gifts, the spiritual gifts, the preaching, teaching, all that, he said, if your gift is given, then do it good. You can't be everything to everybody, but you can be something to somebody. Identify your talents and skills and abilities and make use of them, okay? Know your strengths. Know what you can do and what you can't do. I am amused sometimes at people that will put in a volunteer form for something or will actually apply for a job and they don't have the skills for that. Come on, don't look at me like that. If you want to do that kind of work, then learn how to do it. Go get the skill to do it. Anybody getting anything out of this? I'm trying to tell you what I'm talking about works on both sides, the natural and the spiritual, okay? All right. Realize that God is with us always. If God be for us, who can be against us? If you want to become like God, then hang around him. You know, you gotta hang around, you know, hang around with ordinary Joes and you'll be an ordinary Joe. But hang around with people that are making it in life and that are becoming something and hang around with them, you'll eventually get there too, because people become what they hang with. Don't look at me like that. There are a lot of people that never intended to get hooked on dope, but they hung around with some friends that were doing it, and they eventually got there. They didn't intend to. The prodigal son, when he left home with his dad's money, he never intended on ending up in a pig pen. But he hung around with the wrong crowd, and he did. See, you need to speak what God says about you. God says you're the righteousness of God in Christ. God says that you're above and not beneath. God says that you are blessed. So I said, well, I don't see it nowhere. Well, quit talking about what you don't see and calling those things that you don't see as though they are. Hello. God will help you grow up and go up. See, we must wake up to the truth that we don't have to stay where we are. Spiritually or naturally, we can rise to a new level. John Mason, he's a friend of mine. He lives here in Broken Arrow. He did. I guess he still does. And he's written several books. He wrote a book, An Enemy Called Average. Anybody ever read John's book, An Enemy Called Average? He said, don't settle for an average life. God wants to launch you past the middle to the top. You know, some people, they start out and they get a little bit of success and they're satisfied. Oh, man, got a good job, got a good house, got a good income, got everything fine, I got a good spiritual life. But hey, don't stop there. Go on up. Don't settle for average. Did you get anything out of these two lessons? You need to declare tonight, I am going to rise to a new level with God. I'm going to rise to a new level in the natural. I'm going to take. See, sometimes we wait for God to do something. Hey, the Bible tells us to do something. Smith Wigglesworth said, read his book, Ever Increasing Faith. He said, if God don't move, then I move God. Anybody read that in his book? Yeah. How do you move God? By telling him what his word says and telling him, okay, God, this is what you said. That's the way you move God. You said, I'm above and not beneath, and I'm beneath right now, so I'm believing you to go above. Come on. Everybody stand. Turn to your neighbor and said, you can go to a new level. It's up to you how far you go. God will take you as far as you let him. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I talked to these people for a few moments tonight, trying to encourage them to rise to a new level spiritually, rise to a new level in the natural. I thank you tonight that each one of us will get a hold of this, and may we never be satisfied. I don't care how old we get. May we never be satisfied. May we always continue to move up. In Jesus' name, amen. If you happen to be in this place tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, because that's what you have to do first in order to get into what I was talking about tonight, or you know what it is to serve him, but you know you're not where you need to be, you need to rededicate your life. If that's you, as we dismiss, come down here, the men here, the ladies over here, and pray. They'll pray with you. You won't leave here like you came. If you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, anything you need prayer for, you come down here and they'll pray with you, and you'll leave here different than you came. Amen. Don't forget all the announcements. Hey, Sunday morning right here. Don't forget, go out there and sign up for Trunk or Treat, okay? And we especially need, now we need a bunch of people to help traffic and not only car traffic, but people traffic. We need people because you're gonna have several thousand people around here, and we need to be able to take care of the crowd. So we need traffic control. So we need some people that's willing to do some traffic control. All right. So hey, and we need the candy. They need those swimming pools out there. They one was already filled up. They filled it up tonight. But they're going to be here Sunday morning. Be two of them, at least two of them. We need to fill them up. And then Sunday night, we need to fill them up. And next Wednesday night, we need to fill them up. Okay? Turn to your neighbor and say, we need to fill up the candy. Now, if you can't bring any, then you text candy to 28950, and we'll buy it for you. Okay? Amen. Don't forget the announcements. Hey, go find our first-time guests and take them to receive that special gift that we got just for you right now. So do that. Shake hands with somebody and say, we'll see you right here Sunday. Don't forget the announcements. If you need prayer for anything, for any reasons now, come to the front right now. God bless you.